Recently, I rewatched the classic film, The Wizard of Oz. As a kid, I hated the movie. I'm not gonna lie. The flying monkeys, guys, they were really scary. I was not a fan of the flying monkeys. But because it was a classic, I wanted to rewatch it again and give it another chance. When I rewatched it, I noticed a lot of different themes in the film. Things like home, humanity, and power, to name a few. But I think that maybe the three individuals from Oz who accompany Dorothy on her journey, the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Cowardly Lion, have a great deal to teach us. The Scarecrow taught us how to have a brain, the Tin Man a heart, and the Cowardly Lion courage. In the movie, the Cowardly Lion tells us of all the things he could do and be, if, that is, he only had the Noive. In 1 Peter, the author tells us that we should not fear doing what is right, for it's better to suffer while doing right than it is while doing wrong. Easier said than done. In today's world, when Christianity is often equated with words like intolerance and conformity, it's easy to slip into making excuses for ourselves as Christians. Yeah, I attend church, but not every Sunday. Or, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm not one of those Christians. How many of us have said that or made excuses like that? I know I have. See, when I went to a small liberal arts college in the fall of 2009, I found myself spiritually in a place I'd never known. I was surrounded by doubt. Growing up with a strong and opinionated church family, not to mention my faithfully strong parents and extended family, I had never really known doubt concerning my faith. But the young teens and 20-somethings around me questioned not only the teachings of religion, but the very existence of a higher power. For the first semester of my freshman year, I struggled. Then, I encountered a young woman who would later become my roommate for the rest of college and one of my closest friends. She had grown up as a Catholic, but had since identified as atheist. In the beginning, whenever anyone would mention religion, her manner was abrasive. She would make jokes about Christians, about my religion, that I was extremely uncomfortable with. Finally, one day, tired of the jokes, I didn't laugh uncomfortably, but shared my views with her. I didn't attack her for being an atheist, but I confidently expressed my faith in God and Christ in the kindest way I knew how. But it was because of this sudden declaration of faith that I expected an immediate end to our friendship. To my surprise, she not only profusely apologized for everything she had said, but she made the following comment. "I didn't know Christians like you existed." What did that mean, anyway? I didn't know Christians like you existed. I found myself again remembering my oft-quoted phrase, "Yeah, I'm a Christian, but don't worry, I'm not one of those Christians." What did her statement mean? Did it mean that I was a Christian who defended my faith through kind word and loving deed, rather than shouting it through a bullhorn, excluding and maybe even hating those who thought and believed different than myself? But I still wondered why it was so hard for me, for others I knew, to make claim to our faith as Christians. Why was it so hard to gather up the nerve, the courage, to stand up for our faith and declare ourselves to be who we are? The world has changed from the time of Jesus, and so has Christianity. The changing world and the changing Christianity might bring us joy, might bring us frustration, might bring us sadness or anger, laughter or tears. But there are two options. We can either run from it or learn from it. As Simba says, change isn't easy. But the fact is that we, as Christians, are stranded in an ever-changing world where more and more people doubt the existence of God. They turn away from religion, and perhaps even the hardest part, they mock those who believe. Change may not be easy, but as Christians, as humans, it's our responsibility to learn from the past in order to effectively enact and participate in change. It's not easy. but then again, neither is courage. How wonderful would it be if having courage was easy? If the cowardly lion never had to go see the wizard because he already had the courage inside of him. If Simba didn't need any prodding to return home to claim his rightful place as king of Pride Rock. In case you aren't catching my drift, we'd be missing out on some great movies if courage were easy. Courage is a huge motif in films, books, music. John Wayne himself said, "Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway." If courage was easy, many of our favorite movies and books would be entirely different and might not even exist. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a third lion. So we have Cowardly Lion, we have Simba. There's a third one, Aslan, from C.S. Lewis's series, The Chronicles of Narnia. For those of you who haven't read the books or seen the films, for the purposes of this sermon, all you need to know is that C.S. Lewis wrote the books with the very purposeful intention of having Aslan represent Christ. As the king of Narnia, Aslan must defeat a wicked opponent, he dies, and he becomes alive again. But why a lion? Like Christ, they're powerful, but there seems to be a conflicting message. After all, lions are predators. In order to survive, they have to kill. Lions are the warriors of the animal kingdom. In ancient times, when the Hebrews spoke of the Messiah, they were waiting for a warrior, a lion-type figure. Imagine their surprise when a man came, a man whom people were calling the Messiah, who was not a warrior. He didn't arm the Jews with swords and knives to go march into battle against the Romans. He didn't spread a message of war, of intolerance, of conquering. Rather, the Prince of Peace spread a message of love, of compassion, and of kindness. Christ, with all the courage and power of a lion, turned his other cheek. So the conundrum. How do we, as Christians, have courage and kindness? In The Wizard of Oz, when the Cowardly Lion first encounters Dorothy, the Scarecrow, and the Tin Man, he roars and growls to try to prove his bravery. He tries to coax the Tin Man and Scarecrow into a fight, even going after poor little Toto. When Christians bluster and roar against the ever-changing world, are we really being heard? Is that, as Dorothy points out, really courage? Or is courage something else? Jesus told us to turn the other cheek. Peter told us to defend our faith, but, he warns, we must do so with gentleness and reverence. He reminds us that though Christ suffered and died for our sins, he maintained grace and kindness throughout, forgiving those who wronged him. It's hard when we're put under pressure to gracefully defend ourselves, to defend our faith, especially if you feel like you're under attack. Human nature wants us to attack back. But the defense of our faith can't and shouldn't be an attack. It should be a statement, a courageous affirmation of faith. But it should be done with the utmost kindness. Like change and courage, kindness is hard too. I know that in my life, I've always found it easier to gather courage and kindness against those who attack me when I know there are people standing beside me and behind me. My family, my friends, my Christian brothers and sisters. Christ himself said to his disciples when he again appeared to them after his resurrection, "The Father will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you." Courage is never easy, and sometimes even kindness is hard. But we are not only made strong through the love and support of each other, but we are made strong in the knowledge that Christ, the Spirit, and the Lord stand behind us, around us, and within us. If I only had the Neuve. Is Christian courage not only standing up for our faith, but doing it in the kindest and most loving manner possible, because that is what Peter tells us to do. That is Christian courage and kindness. If someone mocks you for your beliefs, treat them only with love and kindness when defending your faith. As Christians, we should strive to be Christ-like in every way, especially through courage and kindness. And maybe, just maybe, we'll get a little boost of some much-needed noise. Amen.